DNB Tech Minute gives you the day's top tech headlines, from the big names in Silicon Valley to the halls of power. If it's making news in tech, we've got it. Check out DNB Tech Minute in the Tech News Briefing feed from The Wall Street Journal.
From the opinion pages of The Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
More details arrive about the FBI's raid on President Trump's home in Florida, as Attorney General Merrick Garland says that he personally approved the search. Welcome, I'm Kyle Peterson with The Wall Street Journal. We're joined by my colleagues, columnists Kim Strassel and Alicia Finley. Welcome to the end of a wild week in American politics. It began on Monday with this FBI search of Mar-a-Lago. And 5 days later, I think we still have more questions than we really have answers. On Thursday, Attorney General Merrick Garland made a brief public statement, and the biggest news of that event was that he said the Justice Department would ask a judge to unseal the warrant and the property receipt from the FBI's raid. President Trump has a copy of those documents, but has chosen not to release them. But then he said on Thursday night he would not oppose the Department of Justice's request. In fact, he would encourage disclosure here. So now we're waiting for the warrant to arrive. It's still not public as we tape this. I have the federal court records website. It's called Pacer up on my screen that I keep refreshing. People probably don't know that you have to pay for court records through Pacer. Every time I hit refresh, there's a little notice at the bottom saying there are 4 billable pages for this docket and 40 cents. I've been running up my bill, so sorry about that, Paul. But Kim, there are some details that are leaking out into the press. News organizations saying that they have seen the warrant, not that they've obtained it, but that they've viewed it. So what do we seem to be learning here?
What is being reported is that the warrant and the order that was issued by the judge gave the FBI the ability to search vast amounts of the Mar-a-Lago estate in search of documents that the government claims were there and should have been in their possession. Then we also have an inventory of some of the items that the FBI took away. This includes about 20 boxes of things, including a lot of things that you'd probably classify, or Donald Trump would probably classify, as sort of mementos or memorabilia of his time in office. But the headline is all that apparently there were 11 sets of documents that had different varying levels of classified stamped on the top of them. Now, this is interesting because Donald Trump's lawyers immediately came out and said that he had in fact declassified these particular documents before he left, and so they are not in fact classified anymore. There's a very interesting question about the president's power to declassify, which is quite broad. It's quite sweeping. We can talk a little bit more about that. But it is really interesting that in some ways, this could end up coming down to some novel legal questions about the declassification process.
And we should say that a lot of these news reports are also unconfirmed so far. So on Thursday night, there was a report in the Washington Post that suggested that the FBI, some of the documents they were looking for related to nuclear weapons. And that was about the extent of the allegation there. But let's listen to a Friday news conference. Here is Congressman Mike Turner, a Republican of Ohio. He is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee.
It depends on what the nuclear information is. You can say nuclear weapons, but there are things that are highly, highly classified. There are things that are not extremely classified, but are nonetheless classified. The other aspect with respect to access is we don't know what those documents are. I mean, I'm asking the same question you are. Attorney General Garland, Director Wray, if these things rise to the level of national security threats, to which there's an immediate need to enter the residence of a former president, perhaps future candidate of president, the person who is, you know, has run against Garland's boss, you know, that should have a higher level of scrutiny, right? But just tell us.
The other element of this here, and again, a little bit unconfirmed so far, but there's news reports that part of the reason the FBI executed a search is because they begin to have doubts that President Trump or his team, his staff, were being forthright about what documents were still in their possession. And so, Alicia, if you are trying to make the argument that the search was justified, defend the Justice Department here, I think that's it, that there was some national security information there, and President Trump wasn't being forthright that he still had it.
Obviously, that's their argument. I mean, that's the impression that they want to give the public. Problem is, they really haven't disclosed much information about this probe in itself, and we won't get the affidavit that actually provides more information about witnesses, as well as the probable cause and the crimes that the government suspects that the Trump may have committed. It's all very hazy, as you mentioned, and it didn't return classified information. And now the Post is reporting about potentially those documents, classified documents, could have related to nuclear weapons. But again, nuclear weapons, well, are they the U.S. nuclear weapons? Could they have been related to the nuclear deal with Iran? We know that, you know, the Trump was very involved in that. And the journal actually reported that some of the documents that were removed from the property included some information on Macron. And we know that Trump was very irritated with Macron about his resistance to or pulling out of the nuclear agreement with Iran. So I think there's a lot of innuendo here. And I think that this kind of innuendo and the haziness of what the government is investigating benefits the Justice Department because it allows the media and other people to kind of run away with their own fantasies of what this whole investigation is about without actually having any concrete details. The search warrant will provide us once it is released, will provide us with more, but still it will allow the government essentially to set the narrative and puts the onus again on the Trump administration to fill in some of the blanks. And I would hope that the Trump will be doing that again, perhaps detailing exactly what information concerning Macron was removed. So our imaginations don't go wild here.
But that's part of the difficulty here is if this is classified information, it's hard to even know how the public would be apprised of what it's about because it's classified information, Kim. And to your point about the declassification powers that the president has and the novel questions that might arise here, I mean, what if there is not any formal record of these materials being declassified, but President Trump's defense here is, I declassified all this stuff. In the weeks or the months before I left office, I intended to take it with me. I mean, it raises the question of what exactly the president has to do to put that kind of declassification into effect. And, you know, if a president declassifies some documents in the forest and without making a sound, then did it actually happen?
Yeah. So if you listen to the critics, and it's fascinating, of course, the minute that this statement came out from the president's lawyer saying, well, this is irrelevant because the president declassified these documents, of course, everybody began splitting along ideological lines again. And Trump critics, including a number of lawyers, were coming out making that argument that, no, there's a whole formal process for this, and you have to change the stamps. And if the stamps weren't changed and the markings weren't changed, then, you know, no one else can touch these. And so they're still classified. I think here's a problem with that argument is that according to no less than the Supreme Court, the president has super huge, broad authority and power when it comes to classification. He is, in fact, the only government official who can classify and declassify information at will. In fact, anyone else who is going to declassify something has to have had that power delegated to them in some form or fashion by the president. In 1988, the Supreme Court, in a ruling called Department of Navy versus Egan, said, "The president, after all, is the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States. His authority to classify and control access to information bearing on national security flows primarily from his constitutional investment of power in the president." So people who are looking at this saying, okay, in fact, not only does the president have the ability to just say that is declassified, he also has the power to change the process by which it's declassified and just say, like, I no longer agree that this needs to go through this particular process. Could Merrick Garland really push on this and try to make a charge on this? Maybe, but, you know, I don't know if I were Merrick Garland, that's really where I'd want to be staking my flag is on a kind of novel legal question about the limits of presidential declassification power.
And just to underline that, so there was a bit of a controversy in 2019 when President Trump tweeted what appeared to be a satellite surveillance photo of an accident at a space launch facility in Iran. And I don't know the process that he went through in order to do that. I've seen some criticism of that decision as unwise, letting people know, letting adversaries know the real capabilities of American surveillance satellites. But it seems plausible that maybe he got that photo in his briefing materials And he took a picture of it and he tweeted it. And as president, I guess, Alicia, that would be equivalent to declassifying it without going through some formal process. Maybe they did it after the fact.
I think that's right. And I think that's what's, again, contributing to the haziness of all this, to Kim's point. It's very plausible that some of these documents have been declassified or were declassified, maybe just Trump. And we don't actually even know if Trump could have declassified it if he had just said, you know, I order these declassified, if he actually wrote a memo. We don't have this information. So we're relying on the National Archives and what they said and what the DOJ officials have intimated in their leaks to the media. But we really don't know. And so we're kind of left meandering in the dark here. And again, I think that both the Trump and DOJ are, this is a disservice to us, the country, Americans. One or the other needs to clear up. To some extent, I take your point that some of the information, what is classified, you can't exactly detail that. But you can provide, you know, broad contours to the public about what was in these without actually providing the very granular details that would make the information classified, so to speak.
Hang tight, we'll be right back. You're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. Kim, let's talk about Merrick Garland's statement on Thursday. It was pretty short, pretty terse. And it seemed politically canny in one sense, because by that time, President Trump had gone 4 days without releasing the copy of the warrant and the item receipt that was given to his representatives when the search was done. And what Merrick Garland did is he said he would petition a judge to release it. And the judge then gave President Trump a chance to object, putting him in a little bit of a tight position, because if you object, then you look like maybe that you're hiding something. And what seemed like happened then was pretty quickly President Trump seemed to switch his position and agreed to release all the material we could.
First thing on the Garland press hearing is simply the fact that he had it. I think that's notable because it suggests that the incoming to the Department of Justice, the pressure to explain something, had grown to such a level that the Attorney General felt he had to make a statement. I think second thing that's really notable about it is just how little he managed to say in the course of it. In fact, we learned pretty much very, very, very little that was new, other than he was going to make this petition with the judge. In terms of the Trump team, I can see probably, if I were Donald Trump's lawyers, why I wouldn't want to be the one that was releasing that warrant or the list of the inventory. Only because if you're the target of such a thing and you are potentially facing charges, any actions you may take in the end could redound against you. You know, that's why I think the Trump team has also been very careful in its statements not to level massive amounts of criticism, but try to tell their side of the story, because there is a legal danger there. So yes, I could say that Merrick Garland was canny to throw this to the Trump team and basically say, we dare you to stop it. On the other hand, the Trump team, this is now out without them having to put it out. And the pressure continues on the Department of Justice now to answer yet more questions. So I'm not sure there was a clear winner in that game, but it certainly was the kind of main focus of the end of this week's news.
As we keep picking apart Garland's statement here, let's listen to a clip of him talking about what he will and won't say about this investigation.
Much of our work is by necessity conducted out of the public eye. We do that to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans and to protect the integrity of our investigations. Federal law, long-standing department rules, and our ethical obligations prevent me from providing further details as to the basis of the search at this time. There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, The department does not take such a decision lightly. Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken.
Alicia, what do you make of the Attorney General's discretion here? I mean, I have a little bit of sympathy for his position that the Justice Department should do this by the book. And one of the things that might be on his mind is recall FBI Director Jim Comey's disastrous press conference, sort of clearing Hillary Clinton in the email investigation while saying that she had done things wrong. I mean, maybe the Justice Department is trying to avoid another spectacle like that.
Well, I think that the Justice Department's procedure and protocol is generally not to announce in the case of investigations if they're clearing an individual. Comey went into much more detail than he needed to, and that made the FBI and the Justice Department look pretty bad, especially since he one-upped his direct supervisor, you know, the Attorney General. In this case, Garland was put in a bit of a box because here the FBI had already raided Trump's house, Mar-a-Lago, and this information was already public. And so he wasn't actually going out in front and making something public that wasn't already known. In some cases, he was trying to explain away with as little information as possible what the Justice Department was up to. Now, at least he took some credit. I mean, there were some news reports that already said that he had signed off, though others left that kind of murky and suggested that maybe he hadn't signed off on the warrant. And the Biden administration, the White House in general, was in the dark. I think that was obviously very dubious. But here he actually took credit for doing so and clarified that they had sought, at least apparently had sought, less intrusive means to obtain these documents. Again, what are these less intrusive means and how far did they actually go? It's not clear. Where I thought he was a little gratuitous was in lauding the FBI agents for their hard work and trying to dispel any doubt among the public that there could be anything amiss or any bad motives here. Americans have good reason to have suspicions about the FBI, given what we've seen over the last several years between the Mueller investigation, which was basically a whitewash of the Trump collusion narrative with the Clinton campaign peddling the Steele dossier to the FBI. And Kim may expand on this a lot more, but also the FBI essentially doctoring a FISA warrant of Carter Page. And I think that's something that's automatically going to come to Americans' minds right now. Well, if they doctored that warrant, you know, maybe they could have done the same thing with Trump. Maybe they could have just be using this as a pretext for a larger fishing expedition. And maybe everything in that warrant isn't 100% accurate. Again, maybe Kim has covered this very closely over the years, and I'm sure she can expand more on that.
Yeah, Kim, what do you make of that question? Merrick Garland trying to defend the FBI, the Justice Department here. I mean, I understand why there are a lot of Americans who are distrustful of the FBI. On the other hand, there are figures in Trump world who are suggesting that maybe the FBI was planting evidence in the boxes that it took out of Mar-a-Lago. And this is the Truth Social. I almost called it a tweet, but it's not really a tweet anymore, from President Trump. He says, nuclear weapons issue is a hoax, just like Russia. Russia was a hoax. Two impeachments were a hoax. The Mueller investigation was a hoax and much more. He goes on to add that why wouldn't the FBI allow the inspection of areas at Mar-a-Lago with our lawyers or others present, made them wait outside in the heat, wouldn't let them get even close. Said, absolutely not. Planting information, anyone? I guess I sort of understand why Merrick Garland feels the need to push back against some of that.
I guess one thing on this, on your point about Merrick Garland's decision to do this and then to say we're not going to say anything more about this investigation, I understand that that is Department of Justice policy. This is a very unusual situation. And I think one of the problems that I have whenever I hear Department of Justice people say that is then, okay, then stop fighting your wars in the press with leaks. Okay, I mean, pretty much everything we've found out about this so far has come from leaks, presumably from the government or the FBI, because of the volume of information that is contained in them, including, for instance, and presumably these new claims about nuclear documents. And so if you're going to keep your investigation quiet, keep it quiet. And I would just contrast, by the way, with Special Counsel John Durham, whose operation truly is a black box. That's the way the Department of Justice is supposed to operate. But this sort of incrimination by leaks is a growing problem with DOJ and the FBI. On the issue, yeah, I get that Merrick Garland can't throw his people under the bus, but maybe just don't say anything at all, because it's a little offensive to all the Americans out there who rightly have a lot of criticism and doubt and distrust of the FBI, whether it's because of the Carter Page warrants, whether it's because of the bigger Russia collusion hoax, whether it's because of what happened to Mike Flynn. Some people remember that, or more recently, the whole scandal over U.S. gymnastics and Nassar. Look, there are thousands of really good, hardworking FBI agents, and probably people in the Department of Justice too. And we cannot, you know, condemn them all. But one of my frustrations, and I'm sure that of many Americans, is just to watch official after official, whether it's Christopher Wray at the FBI or it's Merrick Garland, refuse to even acknowledge that their organizations have been hugely damaged and that they have an obligation to try to recoup that trust. And that is why this raid, too, I think even in the best of times, we had a former FBI agent who wrote on our pages, Thomas Baker, that, you know, in the best of days, such a questionable decision as this, as raiding a former president's house, would be something that the FBI would be hard-pressed to weather through. But this comes at the worst possible time, given its string of embarrassments, malfeasance in recent years.
Thank you, Kim and Alicia. Thank you all for listening. You can email us at pwpodcast@wsj.com. If you like the show, please hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week with another edition of Potomac Watch.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.